Greetings one and all, as I'm Matt Simon. I have returned not from the grave, but from doing other stuff. So, back on doing some more podcasts. I'm really excited to tell you that I have an app out now, which is called Guitar Secrets. This is a guitar teaching app, as it sounds. And at the moment, there are three courses, and there's lots of free stuff you can access. So, the main course is Ultra Simple Guitar Secrets. When I was teaching guitar in schools, I used to teach kids from age 5, 6 and above, and also kids with special educational needs. That could be quite challenging, but it was really good because it forced me to really crunch down to the essence of what I needed to teach them. So when I was teaching the basic chords and things, it would be like, here's a G chord. Now, is that simple enough? Can I make it easier for you to play? Yep. Can I make it even easier? Any more? No, then it would lose what it is. So we've got down to that, the base element of that. So most of these chords had only two fingers required, which is when people get taught their first chords, I call them campfire chords, so like your basic G, C and D, they're actually quite difficult to play, especially for a beginner. So it's much easier if you can do other shapes, which I've done on the app. So what I really want is not for you to feel, right, this is exactly how it's got to be done. I want you to learn really, really fast. With this, you could be able to play a song within minutes, not weeks. That's the main drive of this. So make it simple, make it easy. And also, because I know lots of different variations of the chords, I can cherry pick the ones that I think are the best and the ones that I use myself. And not to knock those campfire chords, when I play those chords, I hardly ever use them. So the chords that I'm going to show you, the ones that I use, the ones that are easiest, and also quite often some of the easiest ones actually sound better. It's a bit more cool. So that is awesome. There's lots of different sections on the app. So there's basic setup, how to tune the guitar, how to use an electronic tuner, how to use a pick, things like this, basic technique things. And I was quite hot on technique because I've had world-class lessons myself at the Guitar Institute. That was, God, 20 years ago. But so I learned very high level technique, and I pushed myself to like having a good level of technique and prog, heavy metal, shred, that kind of thing, which is fine and you don't need it. But if you can do that, then it makes all the other stuff a lot easier. So creating a very efficient hand position is very important, and understanding how the hand works, like the muscles and the tendons, because I've had injuries. I had carpal tunnel syndrome, which was really bad. I couldn't lift a pint glass full of water. My wrist was that weak. And then I had to stop playing for months and drop out and get some therapy on that. And that's a whole different story in itself. But it's so important that you have efficient technique, because you don't want to have those problems even if you're just playing things normally. So making sure that the hand is working correctly and the wrist is not bent, so it transfers all the power from the arm into the hands. This is all very important. So I go over that. There's also some really simple pieces to play, like Smoke on the Water. You know this one. So really simple things that will just take you, again, a matter of minutes to learn, and then you go, oh cool, look, I can play this. You can show your friends, your family, like, look, I've done something. It's not like, oh, you have to wait till week 10 until you can do something that you can show your friends. No, lesson one, you should be able to just plonk something out, and then you've got the enjoyment and you're enjoying it, and there's some sense of achievement. So that's cool. There's lots of little themes like The Simpsons, Star Wars, Superman. So cool things like that you recognize, that you know what they are, and other, more importantly, other people will recognize them when you play them. There's some simple pieces. There's one I used to play with a James Bond rearrangement. So that was very, very simple. The first part only uses one finger on your left hand to press the note down, and then just your thumb. You don't have to do any complicated strumming, just bless with the thumb. That actually works in four parts, so you can play that with three other friends, which is cool. So there's some simple pieces like that. Then it goes on to the simple chords, G, C, D, E minor, A minor, all the normal ones that you'd start to learn, but very simple versions of them. So the A minor, for example, is only two fingers instead of three fingers, so that makes it easier, right? And a common one that is quite scary for a lot of people is the F major chord, because you have to bar, so there's which means putting your finger across all the strings, which can be quite hard to press down, especially as a beginner. So instead of that, I've given some alternatives where you can just play the higher strings and it just makes it work. So you've got something that works. And a B minor, often used as a bar, but I've got a cooler version which sounds better and is easy to play, so that's a win-win. After that, there are some songs using these simple chords, like Stand By Me, It's Perfect by Pink, Knocking on Heaven's Door, classic songs that you should know that are very, very easy to play. And what I've done to make this even easier is I find that often chord diagrams are written out really badly. Quite often they're written at 90 degrees to how you actually look down on them physically on the guitar. So the way they're written, it'd be like if you played the violin, if you held the guitar like a violin, you'd see it from that angle, which nobody does that. So what I've done is turn that round so it's exactly as you're looking down on it. So there's a photo of my hand playing the chord, but not from the other side of the room. It's from where I would be seeing that. And then there's the diagram, which lines up exactly with that. Which then would line up with the tab. So it's very easy to see what you should be playing and how it relates to where you're sitting. Most chords, like I said, they're written at a slightly weird angle. There's not been a lot of thought gone into that. And again, this comes from teaching some of these kids who just needed to have it like super simple. And yeah, I then used that with other people and it just made things a lot easier. And so like, this is why I do this differently, but it should help you learn a lot quicker. So other sections, there is a section on equipment as well. So basically how to use an electric guitar, the controls on electric guitar, and also the controls on an electric guitar amplifier. If you own any hi-fi equipment, you may see things like bass, middle, treble. These controls, which seem to be, should be quite self-explanatory, like the bass gives a bit more bass, a bit more woof, a bit more warmth, and then going up to the treble, so the treble will give something a bit more definition. If you don't, it will sound a bit more woolly and less clearly defined. So just being able to tweak those and understand how that works is of a massive benefit. The app is available on the Google and Apple store. It's free to download and there's free lessons in there. So these come with video lessons. So I edited, there's a camera on my face, some on my hands, and I've put tab and other things in there. So I believe that's quite a comprehensive course, and it's for anyone who's really struggled with playing the guitar, or if you started before and gave up, try this, because it is designed to be not idiot-proof, but like super, super simple. So, ultra simple. So yeah, definitely give that a go. The next course is called Sexy Guitar Chords. This is, I had some ebooks out and they've been converted into courses now. So when you load up the app for this one, you press the button and it will play from the chapter the chord, and then you'll see pictures of the chord being played. And then I've also done a quick audio of it being used in context. So you might say, well, this is like a crazy G sharp minor chord, but how does it sound in context? Where do you use it? Well, you'd use it with these two chords. Okay, and then here's a tab and then a file of me playing it. So that should make things quite easy. It's split into two sections. One is where you've got open strings ringing out, and that can create some really nice clashing notes, a shimmering effect. And also it's been split into chords which can move. So let's say it's like a modified C minor chord, but then if you move that, you then have a modified D minor chord. So this app, or that course, is targeted to someone who is, say, like a medium level player and wants to learn some interesting new chords. There's some quite easy ones and some quite challenging ones in there, but there's a lot of material, so you should be able to find some value from that. The third course is called Bar Chord Toolbox, and this again was another ebook that I did about 10 years ago. So the chords have been split into different types. We taught at college that there are major chords, minor chords, dominant, which is like a G7 chord, and then a minor 7 flat 5, which is a different type of chord. So knowing how to categorize chords can be it's essential, because you need to know if you want to modify a chord structure or understand a chord progression, you can be able to break it down into what they are. So it's one of these four chord types, and between those they fall into a moving and resting chords. So a major or minor chord can be a resting point. So like the end of the song, it sounds like it's finished. And then you have other chords which sound quite weird, like, oh, it's a G7 sharp 5 flat 9. The more weirder and the more tense the chord is, the more likely it is to be a transition chord. It's a stepping stone onto something else, which can then rest. But then why do you want these weird chords, or these weird sounds? It's because they have more tension, and then the more tension there is in the music, the sweeter the release is after it's done. So going from, say, a D7 chord to a G chord is quite standard. It seems a little bit boring. But if you spice it up, keep the same chord family, so we're going to change a D7 to a D7 sharp 5 flat 9, and then go to a G major 9, it just everything has a little bit more color. So if you imagine the minor chords are, let's say they are blue, and the major chords are red, for example. If you want different nuance in the red chords, the major chords, you can have, oh, it's a major 9, major 9 sharp 11. It's like, well, do I want a scarlet? Do I want a vermilion? Like, do I want to have different shades of red? So it gives you more nuance to work with. And generally, the more spaced out the chords sound, the less direct they are. So sometimes you don't want something that's just like a plonk, ding, that's a G chord. Yeah, but I want something that's got a bit more evocative, a bit more emotion, a bit more ambiguity in it. So these are split up, so you can start from basic G chord, and then chord extensions is where you add other notes into that. So as the chords get bigger and more advanced, they sound a bit spacey, a bit less defined. So it's giving you not necessarily a scale, but more like a tiered list. Okay, here's just a major chord. If you want it to sound a bit more jazzy, try this one. Next level up, a bit more jazz and floaty still, and this one quite spacey, but still a major chord. So if you have a major chord, you can chuck this one in instead. So it gives you a toolbox, so to speak, of you'll be able to look at a chord progression, and at the end of the book there are some chord progressions of songs. There's Fly Me to the Moon and Girl from Ipanema. So I've put down the chord progression and saying, right, okay, that's what was in the book or a book, and then we can crunch that down to these are the core elements, and then once you've identified those elements, you can then tweak them or nuance them as you want. So you might say, well, that's a G7 chord, great, well, I could chuck in a G9 chord instead. But at its core, it is that chord sound, and then I can use my options as I see fit. So by the end of the book, or end of the course, you should be able to play lots of different chord types and understand how to dial in slightly different versions of those chords, and then be able to also look at a quite complex jazz progression. Because any of those chords that are on a jazz sheet will be one of these four chord types. So there's nothing new, there's no new type of chord that sounds a bit weird. Where does that fit? It's one of these four. It's either basically major, minor, resting chord, or a moving chord. And once you can understand how that theory works, everything else falls into place, and then you can make things simpler, crunch it down, and then choose to make it more complicated as you like, or take something simple and then go nuts on it because you understand the chord types and how they fit together. So those are the three courses at the moment, and in addition to that, I'm going to be running some coaching this year, 2024. I'll be running some how to become a professional guitarist coaching, so this will be limited spots. The reason I chose this field to work in is because I see a lot of lessons online, especially on YouTube, saying here's how to play this song, here's how to do this. And if you're playing at home, that's great, yeah, you might want to learn the song like exactly note for note on the record. But then as you play in professional situations, quite often that's not required. Yes, if it's a Queen tribute band, you need to get every note exactly right, because that's exactly what the gig is. But if you've been hired for a wedding band and you've got a list of songs to learn, like, right, how do I learn 25 songs overnight or within 2 days? And it's quite easy to do that once you understand how to crunch them down, what's required. But then you do need a bit more grounding in different styles, for example. You might need to know how to play some basic funk, some basic blues, obviously some rock stuff. Some songs, like if they're dance songs, for example, where there's no guitar on the song, quite often funk parts work quite well with those. But just knowing how to get through the song and deliver what needs to be delivered, because you don't need to be the world's best guitarist to jump in on a gig, but you need to be a certain standard and versatility and understand what's going on, and then be able to see things from a clear reference point, so you understand the context of the song, the style, what's required, and more importantly, what isn't required. So for example, Sweet Home Alabama has only three chords. It's D, C, and G, but if you just play that over and over, it's very boring. So knowing how to chuck things in, but style appropriate, and not go overboard, but at the end of the day, make sure that rhythm is key. Most of the time you are playing rhythm guitar, not lead guitar, so you've got to have a tight rhythm and an awareness of the style. So there'll be some equipment coaching on that, but it'll basically be showing you how to say yes to a gig, be prepared to, like, right, yep, I can be there 2 days from now, and that's the songs, great. Some of the songs will be, they're in everyone's playlist. Certain songs like Superstition, Sex on Fire Now will be played by like almost every function band at every single gig. But then there's still nuances you need to know within that as well. For example, Superstition is an E flat minor, So if there's a keyboard player, they will be playing any flat minor because they get to use all the black keys. It's very easy. If you're playing that in a band without a keyboard player, then the guitar player would like to play that in E because it means you can use the open strings and you can fill out the sound much easier by using those open strings. And also, if the person has a four-string bass, it means they can't go down to an E-flat. You could use an octave pedal, but that's something else. So knowing these real-world situations, for example, I had last summer, I was playing with a band and the bass player came in. He was quite young and new and had just finished his music course. And I was probably in this situation as well, but there's some things that you just didn't know how to do and things are expected of you that you would only know from experience, which you can't be expected to learn in 2 years, obviously. But then I'm giving you the benefit of my experience by saying this is what's required in terms of attitude, in terms of professionalism, but also musically. Things like we did Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen, and it's got a walking bass line on that, but he was playing some really weird thing. I had to actually stop a mid-song to just walk it. So there's lots of things that you would be expected to know how they work. So this course will be a 6-week coaching course, limited spots. I'll try and keep it to maybe 10 people per batch. And it will be very much taking you from intermediate level player, this wouldn't be beginners, so from intermediate level player to, yep, you can say yes to a gig and then perform at a professional level and then ideally get called back. But then you're doing a professional gig where you're getting paid, so it's very different to doing something perfectly in your bedroom and then how to deal with pressures on stage, even how to set up, just how to be a professional. So that course will be running in 2024 and forwards. More details on the app, or contact me at mattsimonguitar.com. My handles on Instagram is mattsimonguitar. I'm on YouTube, and yeah, get in touch, and I'd love to hear from you guys if you're interested in any of that, or just sign up for the app. It's free to start, and yeah, let me know how you get on. Cheers.